Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We're starting a new series today, and so I want to just start out with a couple stories, a couple cool questions. How many remember the muscle-building ads of the 60s and 70s? Remember that? The comics, the magazines, remember the skinny guy sitting on the beach? Got sand, you know, pushed in his face, and so then all of a sudden he found, I'm gonna order this booklet that shows me how to build my muscles. And he could build his muscles, and the next frame in the comic was later, all of a sudden he's bigger and goes back, and he beats the bully up and gets the girl, and all is well, right? What happened? There was transformation in his body. His body was transformed. Amen? Do you understand that? What does that mean? It changed. He changed the way he looked. He changed his physique. He changed. Transformation of his body. What about Saul? Saul, remember, he was imprisoning and authorizing murder, including the stoning of Stephen. And then on a trip to the city of Damascus, going where he's going to continue to do some terrorism to those in Damascus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords personally shows up. And in this bright, excessively bright, shining light, brighter than the noonday sun, literally knocks Saul to the ground, and he asks him why he is persecuting him. And wisely, Saul calls him Lord. He says, Lord, who are you? Right? Calls him Lord and asks him who he is, being born again on the spot, and then left completely blind by that extreme light for a season. He was prayed for, I think, the next day or so, and the Bible says that scales fell from his eyes. He gets his life plan rearranged and set in place, and he never turns back. Now, as Paul, he is giving his life for what he tried to destroy. What happened? Transformation. Transformation. What about the caterpillar? The caterpillar just crawls. Everywhere it goes, it's got to crawl there. They got a bunch of legs, you know, so, I mean, they crawl. And they can do some climbing. But the caterpillar, all it can do is crawl around. He's limited to where he can go, limited to how fast he can go, limited, you know, in his speed and by gravity. But one day, it boxes itself in this coffin, which we call a cocoon. He builds this cocoon around him. And over the process of time, something begins to happen. And one day, that caterpillar in that cocoon, it's getting very tight in here. It's getting very squishy in here. It's getting bigger than he was before. And so he begins to bust out of this cocoon, finding out, only to everyone's surprise, that he has wings and pretty colors. It's a butterfly. What happened? What happened? It's called transformation. Transformation. Now, if you've been a Christian long enough, you've been around, you know someone who's gotten saved, and then you wonder where they are. A year later, 2 years later, 5 years later. Or what about maybe they're just still Christians. Maybe they still say they love Jesus, but they are living in a constant struggle with their past, a constant struggle with addiction, a constant struggle, maybe still believing in the abundant life, but continually missing the mark and having to settle. Settle. Maybe they've even got to the point where they're just willing to settle now. Willing to settle for just normal, average, and ordinary. Just settle for normal, average, and ordinary. A frustrated saint, existing like a sinner. The Apostle Paul said this, you are living, matter of fact, the Amplified says it this way, you are living like mere unchanged men. Living like mere unchanged. What's that? That's a frustrated saint living like a sinner. Frustrated to settle, or just willingly, just almost like given up to settle for normal, average, and ordinary. What happened? No transformation. No transformation. Changed on the inside, but nothing on the outside. Or very limited outside change. What happened? No transformation. So this is what I want to talk about in this series. It's called Transformation, Breaking Out of the Mold. Transformation, Breaking Out of the Mold. Because I do not want us to live this frustrated, saintly life like a sinner. I don't want us living, just settling and having to just settle for normal, average, and ordinary. I don't want us to continually just being held back because of our past and not knowing how to move forward. The reason I don't want that is because God doesn't want that. That's not why He sent Jesus. That's not why He wrote the book. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. This is His life. He wants us to enjoy an abundant life. This is what He's got for us. And so, as we see and understand, it's going to require transformation. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's what we want. It's what we want. A lot of times we don't know how to get it. And so we want to talk about that. We want to get into the Word of God and talk about it. You know, it's one thing to say, be changed. Aha, I remember. I remember one man, I was listening to him. I wouldn't suggest listening to him very much because he uses the F word repeatedly. his name is Garrett White. And he was in real estate. He was in, I think, in maybe mortgages and was doing very, very, very well. And then the market, you know, hit. And I think that was probably 2008. And he tells a story. He tells a story where his wife was not impressed with him anymore. And she let him know about it. And she said to him, why don't you be a man? And to him, it was like, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? You know, be a man. You know, am I just supposed to be, what does that mean? You know, am I just supposed to be a baby producer and a banking machine for you? I mean, what does that mean? Be a man. What does that mean? David said to Solomon in his one of the last things he said to Solomon, he said was be a man. Be a man. You know, sometimes we get instructions like that, and it frustrated him so much because what does that mean? Sometimes we get an instruction. Someone will tell us something, and we'll go, how? You know what I'm saying? What does that mean? I would love to. I just don't know how. And so he began to learn some things. One of the things was, you just need to be real. Be real, real with yourself, right? You look in the mirror. Don't pull any punches. Just be real. Where am I? Where am I at? Who am I? Be real. And then he says, you need to be raw. But then he found out, you know what? You can't just be raw everywhere, because people don't want to hang around you if you're raw. So we need to be real with ourselves, and we can kind of be raw, but we can't be really raw among everyone else, because you know what? People just don't want to hang around you if you're raw. Always complaining and always talking about reality. This is what I'm going through. People are not interested in hanging around us, and we're always going to talk about what we're going through. So I said, oh, okay, I got to figure some of these things out. So we need to be real with ourselves. We need to be raw with ourselves. And then there's just some people that we can actually just sit down with, and we can encourage one another. We can be raw with one another. But we don't live our life among everyone. I can't even, as a pastor, just stand up here and be raw. Why? Because you're not interested. That's raw doesn't encourage you. Raw doesn't inspire you. Raw doesn't cause you to go out the door going, whoo, I'm ready for victory. Raw causes you to think, boy, this life stinks. Huh? It's like Mark Hankins talks about the guy that got some Limburger cheese. They put it on his lip, and he's sleeping, and he gets up and he goes, it stinks in here. And he gets up and walks into the kitchen, and he goes, it stinks in here. Walks into the living room. It stinks in here. Opens up the front door, steps out on the front step. The world stinks. I tell you what, if all we are is raw, everything in life will stink. And we just raw with everybody, everybody will think life just stinks. But no, it doesn't stink. It's just a lot of times the stuff that's just below our nose. What's that word? That's the words that we speak. Causes our life to stink. And so, so we get into this place where, and Garrett White actually, he's going to church. He's a believer. Very carnal, based on the words that come out of his mouth. But he would get so frustrated at church because everyone just put on a pretty face. But he knew they were frustrating. He knew, you know. And he met one girl, a younger girl. He said, how are you doing? And she said, I'm blessed, or I'm doing very good, or something. And he said, he shook his head, and it's like, how is that possible? And then he would look at some preachers, and you know, they had this, their marriage, preachers and their marriage, but he would see some, and I'm not sure who he's talking about, but he's talking about someone famous on TV. He said, how can their marriage and how can their life be so good when life is so nasty? He's dealing with reality, his reality, what he's experiencing. Because he does not know what this says. He does not know what the blood of Jesus has bought and purchased. So there are too many Christians that think life, the way it's happening, is reality. Well, that's their reality, but this can change that. If we understand what God has done for us, we can change that. Our lives can be transformed. Like, how does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly and fly away? Crawls into this cocoon and then flies away. I mean, how does that happen? Transformation. It's possible. It's possible that we can be so limited, but we can get into this place of transformation and we can fly off. And all we think we can do is crawl. Crawl and climb just to scrape to get by. But we get into this place of transformation. And at some point, we can fly off. We can do what we've never done before. That's what the caterpillar is thinking. I could never do this before. He's flying around, flying from flower to flower, flying from branch to branch, leaf to leaf. He's going, I could never do this before. This transformation thing is very cool. You know what I'm saying? Transformation. But we can't pretend. We can't just pretend everything is great. And at the same time, we don't have to tell everybody that it's not great. It's really none of anyone's business how our life is, unless we want to share some of it. It's none of their business. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Why? Because it's really nobody's business. But I really need to be real with myself. Right? We need to be real with ourselves. Because unless someone has the ability to help me in transformation, and unless someone has the ability to help you in your transformation, it's really none of their business. Huh? It's like an employee complaining to another employee about something at work when that other employee can't do anything about it. If we don't like something at work, we actually go to the person who actually has authority to make a change. See, on one hand it's called complaining, and on the other hand it's called communication. Where we'll sit with someone who has the authority to change and say, you know, this is not working, or I think that I've got like three different ways that I think it might be better. I mean, what do you think? I mean, because this is the results that are happening right now. Are you aware of that? And they might be and they might not be. But as being able to come to them and share these things with them, they'll go, that's a really good idea. Thank you. You know, because they just might be too busy to sit down and think about it. But if we actually sat down and thought about it and brought some answers, that opens the door for promotion. Why? Because we're to be problem solvers. Kingdom entrepreneurs. Well, I'm not an entrepreneur because I don't have a business. No, kingdom entrepreneurs are people who are problem solvers. Problem solvers. You don't even have to have a job. I mean, you can be a stay-at-home mom or you can be a stay-at-home dad, but if you solve problems at home, you're a kingdom entrepreneur. Because in the kingdom, entrepreneurs are problem solvers. Can be retired and still be a kingdom entrepreneur because we solve problems. Amen? Problem solvers. We have answers. So, transformation. It's not just up to us to tell everyone what's going on. Unless someone has the ability to help in our transformation, then we can share, ask questions, get some feedback. Amen? Someone who's been there, done that. But we need to be real with ourselves. Real with ourselves. And none of this is in my notes. So, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're just going to spend the rest of the service, most of the rest of the service, in this verse. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or family. The word brethren is just the word that means of the same, from the same womb. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, or family, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Right? A living sacrifice. That's the opposite of a dead sacrifice. Right? A living sacrifice. He wants us to live for Him. And He wants us to be alive. He wants us to enjoy life. But it's going to require sacrifice. And the word sacrifice actually means to breathe hard. To breathe hard. It's going to be tough. A living sacrifice means it's tough. It's kind of like this. Remember Jesus? He's about to go to the cross, and he's sweating blood. He says, not my will, but your will be done. That's what this is, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice to breathe hard. That's what he was doing. It was a hard place. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. That's what this living sacrifice is. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Say reasonable. So you know, it's not unreasonable. That's just too unreasonable. No, it's reasonable. It's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable worship. So how does that happen? He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we see, I guess I've got three highlighted things in regards to these two verses. Number one, we must present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We belong to Him, and we are not our own. So the Bible says, Jesus actually bought and purchased us with His precious blood, so we don't even belong to ourselves anymore. He bought us. He purchased us. Amen? We belong to Him. Our spirit and body are His because He purchased us. So we do not own ourselves. He owns us. Good thing He loves us. Good thing He gave His life for us. So He's not a taskmaster. He is not a slave master. Amen? He loves us and He wants the best for us. So we're in good shape being owned by Him. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. Hallelujah. So we must present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We belong to Him and we are not our own. One of the other things I saw in this portion of Scripture was that we are not to allow ourselves to be conformed or squeezed into this world's mold. And there's actually a few translations that say that. So I like that phrase. We are not to allow ourselves to be conformed or squeezed into this world's mold. Hallelujah. That means the choice is ours. The choice is ours. And then the third thing I see here is rather than being conformed and squeezed into this world's mold, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with God's way of doing things. We need to change the way we think. We can't just think the way we think. We just can't think the way the world thinks. We can't just think the way our family thinks. We can't just think the way our school system thinks. We can't just think the way our government wants us to think. We can't just think the way our television thinks, the way the popular magazines think, the newspaper thinks. We can't think this way. We have to think God's way. To be transformed, it's by renewing our mind with God's way of doing things. So we are to renew our minds with the Word of God. God tells us how He does things. This is how the kingdom operates. This is how His kingdom functions and operates. This is God's way of doing things. And this is how transformation comes. This is how we go from crawling to flying. Right? So, in the movie Transformers, they transform back and forth. You know, a semi, and then he's Optimus, and then it goes back to a semi, and, you know, Bumblebee's the Camaro, and then he's Bumblebee, and then he's a Camaro, and they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and that's just not the way it is in the kingdom. That's not how we are to live our lives in the kingdom. It's not this back and forth. That's not transformation. For us, transformation is, you know, like the butterfly never goes back to a caterpillar. There's no caterpillar in their life anymore. The past is past. It's gone. Butterfly is the future. Butterfly is who they are. That's just the way it is. And so for us, transformation is taking us from a place that we get frustrated about. The thing that kind of holds us back to this abundant life, this good life, this wonderful life that God has made available for us. There's no going back. And we'll find out. You know, so I'm kind of in introduction. We're going to find out because, you know what, Moses never talked about going back to Egypt. And if anyone wanted to go back to Egypt, it should have been Moses. Why? Because he lived in Pharaoh's house. He had everything. He was rich and wealthy and went, had good schools. I mean, if anyone wanted to go back to Egypt, it should have been Moses because he had it good. But no, he never did. But who did? The slaves. The slaves who should have never wanted to go back to Egypt, all they talked about was going back to Egypt. Why? We'll talk about that. It's not enough just to be delivered. It's not enough just to be redeemed. It's not enough. God delivered them from Egypt, but Egypt never got out of them. If we want transformation, we need to get Egypt out of us. How does that happen? Right here. We are to renew our minds with the Word of God. So, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in the Amplified Classic says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age." Right? So the world is not talking about the planet, it's not talking about the dirt. Right? It's talking about this age. This age, the culture, the world's way of thinking and doing things. Don't be conformed to the way this world without God is doing and pushing stuff. Right now we can talk about the agenda, or we can talk about propaganda, or there's this. We're not going to be conformed to this world, this age. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. The world has superficial customs. It changes. You know, I feel sorry for the Indian people. All of a sudden, you know what? We'll call you Indians today, and you know what? Tomorrow we'll call you natives, and then next week we'll call you something else. And, hey, how disrespectful is that? And then when you got a team here, and we want to talk about the team, but we'll talk about a team that was called the Eskimos in honor of the Eskimos, and now they disrespect the Eskimos and decide to call themselves elks. I mean, how stupid is that? You know, so it's, there's this superficial customs that people come up with. They just change. Why do they change? Well, because it's superficial. God's not in it. You know? And so we'll just throw away history. History that's good and history that's bad. Why? Because people want to be able to be deceived. And so we'll throw away history. History that we can learn from, good and bad. Our history. You know? We're not to be held back by our past, but we ought to be learning from our past. Amen? Don't just ignore the past. Don't just be like the ostrich and stick our head in the hole and think, you know what, if I just can't see my past, it's not going to affect me. No, our past is continuing to affect us if we don't deal with it. Superficial customs. This is what the Amplified Bible says. That we are not to be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. But what? But we are to be transformed. We are to be changed. Right? This is what the word transformation means, changed. The caterpillar was changed. It was a transformation. They changed to a butterfly. We are to be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. We ought to have new ideals, things that are important and valuable to us, and new attitudes. You know, we might have had some attitudes where it's like we don't care. But all of a sudden, when we find out about God and we find out what His way of doing things, there's some things that we actually ought to be caring about. ought to be very, very important to us. New ideals and new attitudes. New attitudes. You know, used to have an attitude. We can have an attitude. It just needs to be a kingdom attitude. You know what I'm saying? We ought not to rebel against God, but we can sure rebel against the devil. We can have an attitude against the devil and the world's way of doing stuff. I have an attitude. New ideals and a new attitude. I remember as a teenager, got a summer job, you know, we're planting trees, or we're doing some landscaping. Then it rained. So it didn't work I was on this one job. The guys didn't, you know. I was just doing some labor. And the guys didn't pay any attention to me, and they weren't interested in me. And I just said, forget it. When it was lunchtime, I left. I didn't come back. And then I phoned the owner, because I knew the owner. Didn't know any of these other guys. Dropped me off and worked with these guys. I had an attitude. Left. No, I don't care. That didn't serve me very well. Have that kind of an attitude for years? Doesn't serve you very well. You're always starting at the bottom. I didn't care. Left. Phoned the owner. And I think it rained for 2 weeks. So then a lot of his crew actually, you know what, they quit, or they started working for someone else or something. So he needed some trees planted. The end of 16th Avenue in Calgary, just as you're heading out of town, there's this, almost across the street from Canada Olympic Park. Anyways, needed trees planted there. Said, you want to do that? I said, sure. Hired me and my buddy, and had my truck, and we planted trees. They went away on vacation. Said, okay, all these trees need to be planted, and we're going to pay you this much. So, you know, whether it takes you all day or half a day, you're just going to get paid this much. Oh, that's great. So we did it. But I did it a number of times. Just quit. I don't care. Just quit. My attitude was, God can get me another job. Well, and he always provided. He made a way. But, I mean, you know, it didn't serve me very well. Always starting at the bottom. I had an attitude. We are to be changed and transformed. We're not to be conformed to this world or this age, or fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but we're to be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of our mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. We need a new attitude. We need to understand some new things that are important. You know? Some people that aren't saved wonder, they can't figure out, why would you go to church and pray for an hour? Why would you go to a prayer meeting? I mean, what's so exciting about that? That seems like the worst torture in the world. Why? A new ideal. Now, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, we're excited about God. Why? It's a new ideal. So we did. As a teenager, I would go with mom and dad. I would go to a prayer meeting. Why? Because I enjoyed it. 16, 17 years old. I remember one time. We're at the prayer meeting. You know what? You come to prayer meeting and you fall asleep for a little bit. I don't care. It really is important that we're just here praying in the Holy Ghost. But we went to a prayer meeting one night and we were praying. I fell asleep. And I woke up when everyone's kind of getting up and getting in line because the pastor was going to lay hands on people. And so I got up in line with everyone else and got up with mom and dad and standing there. And I leaned over to my mom and I said, what are we up here for? I fell asleep, but I wanted to get in on whatever was going on. I mean, what are we up here for? Huh? It's important. It's exciting. So, be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. Huh? For you. Isn't that good? We can prove and demonstrate. The CEB translation says it this way: don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is. Sometimes we're trying to figure out what His will is. Transformation will cause us to figure out what His will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. The CJB, the Complete Jewish Bible, says this: instead, keep letting yourself be transformed. This is not something that happens by accident. This is something that we choose. So keep letting yourself be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Why? So that you might know, so that you will know what God wants and will agree with what He wants is good. Oh, that what He wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. So that you will know what God wants and will agree that what He wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. Amen? Transformation, renewing our minds to the Word of God, will cause us to know what God wants and to agree that what He wants is right, that's good. Amen? Transformation. The CEV says it this way: don't be like the people of this world. Amen? Now that doesn't mean we need to dress like people 100 years ago. There are people that do that. That's not what this is talking about. Don't be like them world. You know, don't cut your hair like them, and you know what? Don't wear shoes, and no, that's not what he's talking about. He says, don't be like people of this world. In other words, those who are rejecting God. You know what? When it comes to fashion and stuff, it's very important. I think it's wise just to kind of stay in the middle of the road. You got ditches. You got ditches where they got fashion that is so out there, it's just like, whew, forget that. And then you got other stuff that's like, yeah, you look like you were around 100, 150 years ago. That's not cool either. So you just kind of hang out in the middle of the road. So we might blend. We might blend in our clothes. But there's something about us on the inside. And so this is what he's talking about. The focus is the renewing of our mind. The focus is transformation. You know what I'm saying? It's not on how we dress. Don't be like the world. You know? They cross the road like this. Well, how else are we supposed to cross the road? You know what I'm saying? So let's not read more into this than there is. He says, don't act like the world, functioning and operating and thinking without God and contrary to His word. Don't act like the world. Don't act like the world. But let God change the way you think. Let God change the way you think. This is transformation. Changing the way we think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him. Isn't that good news? Let God change the way you think. So we will know how, not just know what, but we'll know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him. The ERV says, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world. Don't change yourselves. You know, when I was a teenager, I think it was probably happened actually as even in junior high, people started smoking because they thought, because adults smoked, so they thought it was cool. So children and teenagers started smoking because they thought it was cool. That's what he's talking about here. Don't change yourself to be like the people of this world. Right? Who's our role models? Who's our heroes? Who are we looking to? Who would we copy? It's very important that we understand and recognize There's some things we can probably copy, and there's some things that we ought not to. There's some wisdom. Right? We might have a hero that really is kind of messed up in some stuff, but somehow they just got it. They got their act together in that area. So we can kind of learn some stuff from that area, but don't pick up the rest. That would be the wisdom of God. Amen? So it's very important. Don't change yourself to be like the people of this world, because they're functioning and operating, and they're wanting to keep God out of their life. All their thinking is completely in a natural realm, and so there is this struggle. But God is not interested in us struggling. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So there is an anointing, there is an ability, an enablement that comes from God to help us do stuff. Amen? So don't change yourself to be like the people of this world, but let God change you. Let God change you inside. Let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Changed on the inside with a new way of thinking, and it'll begin to show up on the outside. But this change is always on the inside first. Let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. So then we will understand and accept, understand and accept. Sometimes it's like, I don't accept that. But as we become transformed, as we allow God to change us on the inside, then we will understand and accept. It's like, oh, I understand now. And because I understand, now I can accept. Sometimes we don't accept stuff because we don't understand. Our understanding is here, and someone's talking to us here, and we just don't want to accept what's here because we don't understand here, we understand here. So sometimes it's a matter of we just need some transformation so our understanding can come up so we can accept God's way of doing things. Transformation. Understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. The easy translation. Do not become like the people who belong to this world. There are people that just belong to the world. They're worldly, ungodly. He says, don't become like the people who belong to this world, but let God completely change the way you think. It's possible. Our thinking can completely change if we will work with God and allow God. But let God completely change the way you think. Why? So that you live differently. Live differently. Say differently. This is what I call, years ago, the Lord gave me this. I am distinguished. The word distinguished, and so this is part of another aspect. Another aspect of Jeff Lowen Ministries is I am distinguished. I am distinguished. The word distinguished. Webster's Dictionary, the 1812 or whatever, the 1800, the dictionary. Webster's 1812 dictionary, the word distinguished means this: separate, known by mark of difference, by different, superior, and extraordinary qualities. The Bible calls that holiness. Separate. Separation. Different. Say, I'm distinguished. Amen. Let God completely change the way you think so that you live differently. And again, this is from the inside out. The inside out. You know, it's not a matter of, well, I don't swear because it's against my religion. Right? That's just a mental thing. We're talking about something inside out. I tried it. I tried swearing. Matter of fact, there was one day, I think I was in grade 7. I was in grade 7. Because we lived in Strathmore. And we lived on this end of town where the lake is, where there's a whole bunch of houses beyond the lake now, but we were just before the lake. And the junior high and high school was at the other end of town. I decided, halfway to school, I'm just gonna swear all day long. Grade 7. How old am I in grade 7? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah. 11. So anyways, grade 7. I'm going to swear all day long. I just walk into school, cross town, just swearing. Swear. And I sat in my class, and I just kind of under my breath, just swore all day long, swore all day long, swore all day long, swore at lunchtime, swore. I just swore all day long, swore all day long. And then I left school, crossed the street from the school, and stopped. Swearing stopped, and it's like, boy, that didn't do me any good all day long. Never swore again. Why? Didn't serve me well. Did nothing to me. Like, why would people do that? It does nothing. It's completely useless. It's a waste. How do I know? I did it all day long. It did nothing for me. Nothing. Live differently. Let God completely change the way you think so that you live differently. Then you will understand what God wants you to do, and you will know what is good. You will know what pleases God. You will know what is completely right. We'll be different. Different. We're not just parroting someone else. So we literally, our ideals have changed. The things that are important to us change. The way we think has changed. We understand and accept what God wants. The EXB, the Expanded Bible, says, do not be shaped by, so the Expanded Bible is kind of like the Amplified, do not be shaped by, conformed to, pressed into a mold by this world or this age. The world and age is trying to, the world system is trying to squeeze us into a mold. It's trying to make everyone think a certain way. It's trying to put everyone in a box, this certain mold, making everyone the same. Do not be shaped by, conformed to, pressed into a mold by this world or this age. Instead, be changed within, transformed, by a new way of thinking, or changing the way you think, the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to decide and discern, test and approve what God wants for you. What is God's will? You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. See, if we renew our mind, if we are changed or transformed and we have this new way of thinking, our mind is being renewed, we will be able to decide and discern what God wants for us. To decide and discern. To decide means to discern means we will be able to understand, we'll be able to comprehend, we'll be able to get, we will investigate and learn and know. To comprehend, to figure out, we'll discern. We'll see. What God wants. We will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Phillips translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice what the plan of God for you is good, or that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. See, as we're transformed, it's moving us somewhere. It's taking us somewhere. We're talking about a new road in the wilderness. This new road is taking us somewhere. We need to get on the road, and we need to go somewhere. Amen? Somewhere better. It's taking us up, taking us higher. It's this new road. Hallelujah.
so that we will prove. I let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. The Living Bible says, don't copy the behavior of and customs of this world, but be a new and different person. A new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Huh? Newness of life. Take a new territory. Glory to God. Don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. His ways satisfy us. Amen? The message. Message says this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. We can become so numb or so just swayed into something that we just, without thinking, we can fall into a pattern of thinking and doing. Message says this: listen, don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. Hallelujah. NCV says this: do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to do what? To decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. We'll be able to what? We'll be able to make wise decisions. If we're transformed, if we're changed with a new way of thinking, we will be able to make wise decisions. We will be able to decide, to know and decide what God wants for us. New Living, NLT. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know. Right? We don't know everything. So there's a bunch of stuff we need to learn to know. We need to learn to know. We need to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The NTFE, I think it's the New Testament for Everyone translation. That what's more, don't let yourself be squeezed into the shape dictated by the present age. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can work out what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and complete. You know, there's some things that we just need to work out. It's kind of like you get a sliver, you got to work it out. There's just some things we just need to work out in our lives. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? So we can work out what God's will is. Sometimes we don't know everything, so we need to work some things out. But we change and transform our mind, the way we think, we will be able to work it out. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah, we're not stuck. The Voice translation says this: do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern. Again, the word discern: understand, comprehend, figure it out, understand, see, grasp, and capture what God's will and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. So, Genesis 1:26 says this. God says, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. So we were made in his image and his likeness. Amen. Ephesians 5:1 says that we are to imitate God as dear children. Right? Ephesians 5:1, imitate God as dear children. We're to copy him. Not copy this world system, but we're to copy him, imitate him. We've been made in his image and in his likeness. So we actually have the capacity to imitate and copy him because we have been made in his image and in his likeness. So let me close with this, John chapter 14, and we'll pick up here next week. John chapter 14, we're going to just finish off with this. This will kind of prep us up for next week. John chapter 14, verse 9. You know, verse 8, Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was continually living a life of transformation, continually being changed to be more like his Father. He didn't just pop out as a baby and he could quote every scripture and he could... No, he had to learn these things. He had to change. He needed to be transformed. He lived this way. And at this point, in his early 30s, he was able to say to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So our transformation will allow us to get to a point where we... See, we're endeavoring, we're moving, we're endeavoring to be transformed and changed from the inside out. So he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So there ought to be some stuff in our lives that if people see us, they ought to be seeing the Father. Right? Transformation. And if we can't say that, then it's like it's because we actually don't know the Father. We don't know what he thinks. And so we need to be transformed so we can actually manifest and reveal and show people the Father. We haven't arrived. But we ought to be on this road. Amen? This road of being changed. Changed. Instead of a lifetime of being stuck, we can live a lifetime transformation, a lifetime of being changed. It's just getting better and better and better. Amen? So, we will pick up here next week.